Love does not make the world go round, but real love is what does make the ride worthwhile. And for some people who fall in love and get married, that ride is rough indeed, and sometimes the ride ends in separation. The way marriage is done today in our society has been the subject of very much speculation in recent years. Some have said that it is disappearing. Others have answered no, just evolving. A few others have insisted that after some temporary aberrations, everything will be just like it was. It's not just that more couples today are finding life together really not worth the struggle. It's that nearly everyone today understands what's happening, and they can say, we have been there too. We've been so close to separation ourselves. It's really getting to be a lot like the weather this season. We all know what storms are like. We know what makes storms happen. But outside of taking shelter, we really cannot do much about them. And so it is today with marriage. There seems to be a near consensus on the problem. Society has so structured itself today, at least over the past few decades, that a couple nowadays no longer has the kind of supports it once depended upon to make it strong. Yet, that very same family today is expected to fulfill all kinds of functions and expectations in addition to those that it managed when it did have the very best of supports from the family and from society. The church today really no longer can be asked to compensate for what is really an almost total change in our society and in our culture in the last few decades. Today it's like adding two stories to a building while removing about half of the foundation. And being sorry and surprised when things begin to crack and tumble. It's easy today to itemize all of these additional burdens that families have, especially the ways in which all of those close forms of community have disappeared that even many of us here today can remember from our own childhood. The family today is expected to meet the needs for companionship and intimacy that once were fulfilled by the village, and by the village school, and the village church, and all of the village associations, where everyone knew each other. We can report today on the ways in which the foundation has been removed, increased mobility in families, the advent of the nuclear family, the increase in life expectancy. A marriage nowadays is expected to last four times as long because we live longer. And yet, knowing all of these facts, we still cannot control the spread of the problem. We simply sit and wait for the pressures to build up and the cracking to begin, and simply to hope that there's enough foundation left in a marriage to withstand it. And so today, One out of two marriages at least will end in divorce, and that includes the church people. The Catholic Church has attempted to maintain a rather rigid interpretation of its prohibition of divorce. In recent years, I know that many people have felt a relaxation of the stand the church takes. Many people have a feeling that remarriage is easier today to rearrange. Some people have seen in that kind of event a kind of accommodation to the times. And some people think it should be applauded. Other people feel it should be condemned. It all depends on your viewpoint. We are moving out of a period today when among Roman Catholics, remarriage is permitted more often. But sometimes after long ecclesiastical procedures, opposition to divorce within the church has been justified as a means of defending the young and protecting the stability of the social order. But so often the effect of the opposition to divorce has been to alienate persons from the church and from their own families, or to subject them to anguishing delays. The social order so often has not been guarded by such methods, nor is the gospel of Christ served. If you remember, Jesus did speak out strongly against many, many things. For example, he did say that the commandment not to kill must mean for his followers not even to be angry. The language he used was clear. The meaning was beyond doubt. And yet, from the 4th century until rather recently, no one really thought anything of a young Christian man enlisting or being drafted into the military service to do precisely what Jesus said was forbidden. And the church never did set up any kind of elaborate court system so that every case could be judged in turn, and each young man would have to wait until Rome approved or refused his enlistment in the military. Maybe, perhaps, there would have been some merit in that kind of system, but as in so many other areas, the burden has instead been placed on the conscience of the individual. The stages of growth, the stages of faith, the maturing of conscience. The burden is placed on the individual's conscience, and then on the very firm but loving guidance of the community and the parents and a pastor. It all goes together. What needs to be done today is that so much of the time and the energy that is spent today negatively on rear guard actions against divorce should really be transferred, that time and energy, to a real struggle to discover exactly what it is entering into and living in marriage. To discover exactly what entering into and living in marriage can be for those people who do believe the good news of the gospel and are strengthened on the Eucharist. What is necessary in a couple before we can really speak of the mystery of God joining them together for life in such a way that no person should take that union lightly? What kind of society can yet exist in our midst that will support and will understand how to support that kind of lasting union? Is permanence in marriage a legal obligation that the church is most likely to achieve through a complex system of laws and penalties? Or is it a religious ideal that the church is likely to sustain by the ongoing preaching of the good news of the gospel, to offer the Eucharist as strength to people who want to be married, and providing the kind of social and religious support for married couples? The task of church membership, of all members of the church community, is to continue to support and reinforce and sustain fidelity in marriage. And this is a constant mutual effort to enrich and develop a demanding, wearying, and rewarding human relationship. And far from giving in to the times today, such a task would have us offer an alternative. An alternative where the celebration of marriage today is for those people who have grown to know themselves and each other, and where their love for each other springs from non-possessive caring. In such an alternative, the concern of the church is not limited simply to there being a valid wedding. There is ever so much more important part of the search for a just and peaceful society, where we begin by creating communities of families and single people, where existence is not simply for the accumulation of goods or made possible by the exploitation of other classes and nations. Within the choices and the necessities of such communities, marriages will be asked to sustain only what is possible, and that indeed will be a grand and a sufficient burden, with all the support given that is needed. Love does not make the world go round, but real love is what makes the ride worthwhile.